And we are at episode number 105 in A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate. The questions you need to be asking yourself as you're thinking about purchasing a home. And if your agent isn't asking them, you should question them why. Stay tuned.
Welcome to A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate Podcast, the only place to make you smarter about San Diego real estate. We take a look at what's going on in San Diego. We explore everything from new restaurants, coffee shops, free stuff, and more. Now, here's your host, the man with the best hair in San Diego, top realtor, Chris Spade.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's me, it's Chris Spade, and with A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate, the podcast where I like to make you smarter about your San Diego real estate market updates and the financial decisions that you're going to make. Plus, for those of us a little bit over 40, I might tweak the podcast a little bit because a lot of you guys are finding it more valuable to get information on financing over 40 and retirement. So give me a shout out on Twitter at the Chris Spade if that's something you'd like to be interested in, because I'd like to talk more about that and bring some experts on what if you are not ready to retire, if you haven't even started saving for retirement into your 40s. So those are some topics that really interest me. So what I wanted to talk to you today about, I know we've talked about this a little bit before, the buyer consultation. You know, we bring you in prior to actually going out to look at houses, and we have a lot of conversations surrounding real estate before we actually go out and start looking at properties. And there is a method to the madness and a reason that we do that. And the reason for that is because we want you to make a smart decision and we want you to be completely informed. Because the reason why people end up hating real estate agents, and I've seen this happen and it's happened to me, is because there's a communication breakdown. And if we start that communication early on in the process, right? If we start that early on in the process, then and only then are we able to have a successful closing. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure that you're making the best decision possible. This stuff may seem like a nuisance on the front end. And you know what? You might have said, well, I met with this other real estate agent. They didn't do that. That's fine. They didn't do that. I get that. I understand that. The challenge with that is you're going to have a communication breakdown down the road. I guarantee you it's going to happen. Without a doubt. So here's some questions that agents should be asking, really good agents should be asking. The first thing is, what is your motivation for buying a home? Now, we've talked about buying right. Now, we talked about that yesterday on yesterday's podcast, is buying right. But what is really your motivation for buying a home? Is it because everyone else is doing it? Is it because that you need the tax break right now? What is the real motivation behind you wanting to buy a home? You really need to think about that. And like I've said in the past, remember, we want to buy homes to make wise financial decisions for what's going on in our world. And so buying right, you know, don't spend too much money. And we're going to talk about that here in a second. You know, the second thing we want to talk about, and this goes hand in hand to the first, is what is your monthly mortgage payment and what are you comfortable with? And so what you want to do is you want to decide, this is why getting pre-approved is so important. Remember, I have a plethora of lenders that I can help you choose from. So if you're looking to do down payment assistance, I've got lenders for that. If you're looking to do VA, I've got really good lenders for that. Reverse mortgages. I feel like a lot of lenders niche specialize because that is what they do and that is what they do best. You know, it's like, you know, you don't want to go to a lender who says, oh, I can do it all, because the truth is they really don't know that they can do it all. And so if you're looking to do an FHA 203K, you want to make sure that it is a wise decision, right? You want to make sure that you're not doing something, that you're not working with a lender that doesn't know what they're doing. Just like you don't want to work with a lender who says they can do down payment assistance programs only to find out 45 days into the escrow that they really don't do them. So you want to work with somebody with a track record. There's also, you know, lenders who do A-paper clients, which, you know, A-paper means that you have like the bomb credit, and that you're able to do, you know, pretty much any single loan. And then there are those who, they're not a paper, you know, they're not even called anything other than just paper, I guess. But they're for some of us who have less than perfect credit histories and credit scores. So those are the things that you can, you know, you need to talk to the lenders to make sure that they do know what they're doing, but you really want to specialize and work with someone who's in a niche rather than somebody who just says, I can do it all. Like, for example, I've never written a contract on a reverse mortgage. I could probably stumble my way through it. And yet, it might be wise if somebody else worked on that with you. So that's just my two cents. Let's talk about needs versus wants. Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. You need a roof, you want a pool. Those are very loose needs and wants, but you really need to sit down and figure out what are your five needs. They're the must-haves. They are the deal breakers if you do not get them. And then what I want you to do is realize out of those top five, you're going to get four, right? And then you might get one or two of your wants on there. You might get the pool. You might get the built-in barbecue. You might get that. You know, you might get certain things. Now, if price is no object, chances are you can get all five of your needs and all five of your wants. So you're going to be able to do that. However, you just need to understand that you're going to need to focus on that. And when you do that, you're going to also have to understand that you're going to have to give up some of your wants. So expect to get four of the five. The next question, do you have an understanding of the costs that come along with purchasing your home? Now, you are paying costs when you purchase a home. They're called closing costs. Now, typically, you're going to pay about 1% origination fee on your loan, and your loan origination fee is tied to the loan amount, not the purchase price. So if it's $600,000, you're putting $120,000 down. That means you're getting a loan for $480,000. That means you're going to pay 1% of that $480,000. That is your loan origination fee. You're going to also pay title fees, escrow fees, and any other recording fees, reconveyance fees, courier fees, notary signing fees. You're going to be paying all those. So what you need to build in is not only your down payment money, but approximately 2% of the overall purchase price of the property. So if the property is $600,000, you're going to want to bank about $12,000 extra dollars. So it goes from $120,000 to $132,000. Now, keep in mind, 2% is an overestimate, you know, depending on the type of loan you get. 2% is pretty, you know, is pretty liberal, actually. But you can always ask the seller for closing costs. But in this market, even though the market's a little bit weird, sellers aren't really paying closing costs. So your agent really needs to pay attention to what's going on in the market. Now, I think that's shifting right now. And I think that you're going to be able to get a few more closing costs paid than you were going to be able to in the past. However, you know, that's just something that you really need to be watching out for. Number five, are you aware that memberships into a homeowners association may be required in certain neighborhoods and that there are fees that come along with this mandatory membership? Now, it's not really called, HOAs really aren't a membership, but when you're purchasing into a condo community, you are going to have some sort of HOA fee, and some of the HOA fees are really low and you should be cautious of those, and some of them are really high, which if the HOA fee is high, typically what they're doing is they're stuffing the reserve account, which is good because if anything happens to the building, then you're not going to have to pay a special assessment. But if the HOA reserves are really low, and sometimes this happens when you're purchasing in a condo community of like 7 or 9 units, they're going to keep the HOA fees low, but their reserves are underfunded. So that means if there's a repair that needs to be made to the building, for example, the roof, or it needs to be painted, you're going to have to cough up X number of dollars within a certain period of time in order for them to make payments on that capital improvement to the property. So I'd be very leery of a condo community with low HOA fees. And if they are, you really need to pay attention to the reserve study. How much money is in reserves? How much money is in the roof reserves? If the roof goes out, you know, you have to pay attention to these things because everybody's going to get hit. Now, not everybody's going to get hit equally because the one bedrooms are paying less than the two bedrooms or three bedrooms or whatever it happens to be in your community. But you're going to want to pay attention to that. So you don't necessarily want to do that. High HOA fees, you know, I'm not a huge fan of. And then also, if you're living in a community down south, like in Chula Vista or something like that, then you're not only going to pay that, but you're going to also pay mellow roofs. And mellow roofs is designed, it's a tax that is designed to put infrastructure in place so that way you have basic needs met. So, for example, the sewer system, the water system going in there, police, fire, roads, all those things. That's what mellow roofs covers. And typically those last anywhere from 17 to 20 years and then they will drop off. So there's a lot of communities down in Chula Vista where those are going to start dropping off that they were built in the early 2000s. So they typically drop off at about between 17 and 20 years, depending on your community. And some of them, they may even stay on longer. I mean, it just really depends on the community, but that's something that you also want to check in as well. Because typically by then there's enough people moving in there and taxes are being paid. It's really kind of a tax that you want to make sure you know, that those things are taken care of, because, you know, water, police, firefighters, those are all important things. You have to ask yourself, are you planning to live in the home long term, or are you looking as an investment? If you're looking at it as an investment, then you know what, you're looking at it much different. So you're not really concerned with the paint and the carpet and the, you know, the this and the that. You're really concerned with cash flow. You're concerned with how much am I going to earn every month on this property. And so what we really need to know is this an investment? Is this a 1031 exchange? Or are you going to be living it in your personal property? And how long do you intend on holding that property? And one of the last questions, are you working with a CPA, financial planner, or do you have anyone else that's going to help you make this decision? Because I'm going to tell you right now that there's a lot of people out there who are going to give you their opinion on the property. Let's talk about your friends and family first. Remember, and I've talked to you about this before, you are in the market. You are the one that is working in the market. So you have the best knowledge possible right now. Your friends, your family, they're going to either talk to you about, oh, this is what it was like when I purchased. You make sure that they do this. You know what? Things change. The real estate market evolves. Laws change. The way we do business changes. Technology changes. So there's so much that's changed. Or if you bought a house 15 years ago, it's much different now than it was 15 years ago when you purchased your home. And so things change, and you have to remember that. The other thing is, it's also important to be working with people like a CPA or a financial planner. They don't always give the best advice, and I'll tell you why. I was at a party at a friend of mine, and this lady I was chit-chatting with, she already had a real estate agent, but we were, you know, we just chit-chat about real estate. And she said her financial planner advised her to buy a condo. And I said, really? That's really kind of surprising. Why would your financial advisor plan have you buy a condo for investment? That was the other thing. It was for investment. And he said, oh, it's just something I need to do, rent, blah, 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 and income. And I thought, well, that's a really stupid idea, because purchasing condos, you know, to rent, it's not the worst thing in the world. It really isn't. But you also, you have to take into consideration, remember, when you're purchasing that, you are buying into a community. And so somebody else is not preserving your asset. And then you have to pay the HOA fees, property taxes, your mortgage payment. And then if there's an assessment, you get hit with that and you're not even living there. So, you know, I advise people, if you're going to do it, maybe bank a little bit more money, buy 4 units, do something a little different. I don't know, buying a condo. I mean, if condo is the only thing you can afford to buy and you really need to buy a piece of investment property, by all means, do it 100%. I wouldn't say no to that. But I kind of wonder why people do that sometimes, especially when somebody doesn't have a lot of money. Now, if you're purchasing it with your IRA funds, 401k, or your IRA, actually, then I think it's a wise decision, because it's just going to be a win-win. You're paying for it. Someone else is replenishing your fund. And then when you go to sell it, you just dump the money back in there. So I really think that that is actually smart. But if you have to get a mortgage for it, not so much. That's my 2 cents anyway. All right, that's it for me today on this Tuesday. If you have any questions about selling a home, buying a home, or investing in real estate, please reach out to me at 619-818-2992, or grab me on the web at alwayssunnyinsd.com. I hope you guys are having a great day. Be well and be good to each other. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to A Pulse on San Diego Real Estate with Chris Spade. If you like our show and want more, check us out on iTunes. While you're there, leave us a review. See you next time.